Welcome to the Places We Call Home podcast, where we celebrate the courage, tenacity and resilience of migrants who have moved from their country of origin to make a new home in America. Subscribe and listen to us wherever you find your podcasts.
Things happen in here and there, but I tend to forget that a lot.
Take care of everybody else.
And so you are such an amazing, remarkable woman. Just to see you remind me. Oh, it's like a little reminder. Like, are you taking care of yourself? And I think you remind me that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hope that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It is an amazing thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Absolutely.
I know you're nervous. I wholeheartedly believe that you have such an incredible story about your own personal experiences, your life and how you've lived, where you are now and the things that you're doing, how you've triumphed over so many situations. I think those things are really encouraging. So what I want you to do is just introduce yourself to our listeners so they can get to know you a little bit.
Absolutely. My name is Karen. I'm from Central America. I'm the fourth of 11 kids. I was born in Honduras, Honduras. I was raised in the city. To be honest, the city is not really a fun place in a way. And it's a busy little city. But I was raised in a little, we'll say, town. There were tons of kids around. Things have changed over time, and the city had become a very extremely dangerous place. So they have to take advantage of the sunlight. So we went to school. You begin, let's say, 7 in the morning, and you finish at 12.
How long have you lived in the U.S.?
20 years.
What was the thing that encouraged you to move your life to the U.S.?
First of all, I never intend to come to the United States. I didn't have a plan to come here. I was working in a company. I was going to university. I was a student right away from high school. And I was working and going. And life changed. My older sister came to the United States and met who is her husband now, and she wanted me to come for her wedding. But at the same time, there was an opportunity at the company that I was working with to get a training for the new computer system that were about to change. I was the one who came to Miami for that training and then flew to California for my sister's wedding. During a few days before my flight back home, I realized that I was living, my life was in danger back then. I didn't realize that. My good friend, very good friend, took the time. We have a conversation over the phone, and then you say, you know, that you will. This is your chance for you to be safe, to have a life. Don't come back. So that was shocking for me because...
So you didn't know your life was in danger?
Somehow I did not know, because we were in that, living that life. I was young, so I didn't really thought about it. But when you get out of that circle, right, step out of that circle, and then you look back, you're like, oh my God, she's right. I didn't want to accept the fact that she was right.
You were still hoping to go back?
Oh yeah, I was going back in 3 days. My flight was about to go, I was about to go back. And then we have this deep conversation, and she's like, this is your chance. You are not saved. And it was something that really shook my life. It shook me from bottom to top, top to bottom. So,
because you had to leave behind
everything.
I can't
imagine. I have to leave behind my life.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I can see how that still affects you, that emotion. That's the big deal, to not being able to say bye to anyone, to not be able to process it, because your parents as well were there.
My father, my mom has passed away. She passed away when I was 17. So I have to make that decision. I have to make that big decision in hours.
Right.
This is something that you never planned, you never thought about it, but so I have to make that decision. And I start packing everything. I get super mad at my friend. How can you be telling me this? And she says, I have to tell you when you were there, because you were not going to be seeing it from here. You were not going to listen, because I know you, because I'm stubborn. And at that time, I was 24, and I felt like I can conquer the world.
Like you were invincible and you could deal with anything.
Correct. Correct. But you have that feeling still in your heart. Something's quite numb.
So, all right. Okay.
Yes. So I remember a few hours before my flight departure, I kind of put down my ticket and I say, okay, this is it.
Up until the last few hours,
last few hours.
Still
yes.
hoping that your friend was wrong and that you could still
yes.
fix it. That you could, were you just trying to find solutions? If I go back,
yeah.
then
oh,
maybe
yeah.
I can say this. Maybe I can move. Maybe I can.
Oh, yeah.
You were just trying to find all the possibilities and none of them were working.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
So let's change the subject a little because I know I feel and I can see your tears. I don't want to bring too many memories back. You now live here.
I live here 20 years now.
What is it about America that you love? What are you enjoying about being here?
The first few years, everything was so new for me. I never thought about living in the United States. I never ever considered that. That wasn't something that it was in my head. But I fell in love with English. I knew zero. I didn't know how to speak any English. But when I heard people talking, I fell in love with that. And the culture, but reality was I didn't speak the language. I didn't know how to start.
That's something I wondered. The moment you put your ticket down, I know I said I wasn't going to go back, but just
that's for a okay, moment, totally fine.
You put your ticket down and you accepted in your heart, oh my gosh, I have to stay. Okay, I'm going to stay. I would be lost.
I was totally lost. I was totally lost. The food was different for me. The environment was so different for me. And people were so different for me, even though I was living in a predominant Latino community.
But with your sister?
With my sister, yes. But I told myself, I'm just going to stay for 2 years and I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to school and learn English. And then I will find a job and I will find a way and I will be back in 2 years.
And obviously that didn't work out?
No. After 2 years, I didn't speak English. I was going to school during the night and I was working. I find my first job 5 months after decided to stay. Remember my first job, it was a totally failure because I work in a fast food restaurant. It was a disaster. I was all over the place and I wanted to do things, but they were not happening.
Did they fire you or did you decide, this is not for me?
I decided to leave because it was really hard, the transition.
That shift, the comforts that you had, the status that you had back at home to moving to the US on the turn of a dime to build a life from scratch. Where do you start? Can you remember where you started or even how?
I don't really remember. The only thing that gave me hope was my siblings, thinking about them. Thinking about if I move forward here, it will benefit them and then me because I used to put them first. I remember I worked for a cleaning company, house cleaning company, another failure. I didn't have the skills, the ability to be proactive in that job. I remember that they assigned me to clean certain part of the house and I spent so many hours and it should took me only maybe 30 minutes to do that. So then I left. Many times I wanted to go back. I say, what am I doing here? And I fight with that thought in my head. I shouldn't be here. I should be back. I should be living my life. But I have to think about my safety.
That safety issue must have been huge. Was it you've already said that your life was at risk. I understand that. When did things really start turning for the better for you? The language and getting out and meeting people. How many years after?
I will say, and I do remember this very clear, because after I put my goal for 2 years and it did nothing happen, it seems like I wasn't moving much toward my goal. I say, okay, 3 more years. It will be 5 years. And if things don't change, I will go back. And I start speaking English little by little. I remember having a little translate machine with a little dictionary. And I bought the newspaper at the bus station. And I had a notebook. So I was copying the paragraphs from the newspaper sentence.
So you would teach yourself?
I did. I was going to school, but I was practicing. I didn't understand what I was writing, but I knew that I need to learn English because there was no way. And I still today, I feel it for so many people that didn't have the chance to go to school or they haven't been able to go because of work or many reasons. And I say how difficult it can be knowing how to express yourself or ask questions. Or
it's being able to manage your life, right?
What?
And being able to make decisions for yourself,
right.
And it's being able to have a life and to live.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you're just alive and other people will make decisions for you.
There's no way for you to speak up for yourself or even to make an opinion. There's no way. I remember little by little, I began to understand and I watch movies in English. I listen to the radio in English and I was just trying to find any way that will help me. I remember I was working for a family, taking care of their kids, and that family treat me like family. I think that was really important too. I wasn't that afraid anymore. I wasn't that scared anymore. Start finding, little by little, finding a place for me. But the culture itself is huge. There's so many cultures in the culture.
Did you spend most of your time in the Latina culture?
Oh, yes. It's a combination of a lot of things. The language, the food, the comfortable area. You can move easily. But on the other hand, I knew there was more than that. American culture. And I say, why we are together, but we're not together? Why is it that somehow we are so important for this economy and this community, but at the same time I felt invisible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
understand.
I do.
Have you found out what that is?
Yeah. Economic levels. It's skin color. What else can I say?
You felt people are not seeing the humanity of the community.
No, I felt like when I realized there were so many cultures, and then I started realizing that, okay, wait a minute. I'm a human being, but I'm not equally seen. I'm a woman, but because I'm a woman of color, my value is different. So I'm good doing work, right? Like labor.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not good enough to be seen.
To be human enough.
To be yes.
That's what it feels like?
That's what it feels like. After all the adjustment.
I understand what you mean. I understand. How did you overcome that? Those obstacles. Are they obstacles for you?
They are for me and for so many.
Mm-hmm. At that point of discovering this new layer of challenges, did you think, oh, no, too much. I need to go back home.
Even if I thought about going back home, that wasn't a possibility anymore because I was married and I had my first baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I have to stand up for my family, that I have the right to be where I was and that I need to move forward. I think my kids were the one who gave me another perspective. I learned another language. I keep finding ways to learn. I am a human being. I am a woman that has this rich, beautiful brown skin. I see how I contribute to my community, my dream. I am passionate about education. I'm studying early childhood education. I believe that every child, no matter where they came from or status, their economic level, they deserve the same opportunities. The little ones need educators who see them for who they are. Equal opportunities for everybody. And that foundation, it's key. Our young Americans. The education system where I came from, it's...
In Honduras.
It's way different than here.
In a good way or...
In a bad way, yes. Okay. And having kids, my kids are Latinos, and I could sense in my community that not all the kids are the same. No. I wanted to be able to be present and take every opportunity I can to be that bridge for kids to see themselves. Because not everybody sees them. It's sad what I was going to say, but sometimes they see color. Somehow, some skin colors are not valuable as others. And we have to change that. As educators, we can do the change.
Here's an interesting question. Do you see yourself as Honduran or American? I know you're American.
I am American. I belong in America. I see myself at home, and I love my life, and I love being here.
Do you feel a foreigner?
Not anymore. A lot of people make me feel that way until I say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's pause so we can drink our tea. I want to jump back into it. You talked about being in the Latina community.
Yeah.
Have you extended your friends, your community outside of the Latina culture?
Acknowledging that friends will not come, mm-hmm. I need to go find them. I think going to church, school, getting involved in the community have opened up that for me. I have friends. I just had a coffee with my friend who is from Germany, and then I'm here with you now enjoying this beautiful moment. And I have friends from Brazil, from here. But because I find myself, my own identity, I think that kind of opened me to feel happy for who I am. When you're lost, there's no way. There's no way you can find. It's hard. Especially people that can see you as a human being. You just don't see me as a Latina.
That's a huge message. Don't just see me as a Latina. See me as a human being. I want to know something. Is it important for you to hold on to your Honduras culture, to be authentic? Do you feel a need for that?
That's who I am. Those are my roots. That's my culture. And I don't have to give that away to belong. You don't have to give away your family, your culture, your beliefs to belong. I was working so hard to fit. I think I shared this with you once, and I came to realize, fit where? I don't have to fit. I have to be me. And I stopped that because I was just trying hard. I think I was working hard to be seen. And nobody should do that. I don't think so. I think if somebody don't want it to see you, it's their loss. You're missing a chance to see who you are.
That is really important because it messes with your psyche if you feel you're continually trying to fit in. And it's not even just about color. It could be in any way. You could all be the same race.
Can I read something for you?
Yeah.
I was reading a book maybe 3 years ago when I finally overcome this obstacle, trying to fit and trying to be someone who I wasn't, or hearing from people that I was one of the good ones.
Oh, somebody said that to you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're one of the good ones?
Yeah, but I didn't know what that mean. I don't have any idea, but I have someone told me at the gym that, oh my God, you're such an energetic person and you can inspire me to work out better. And then I feel like this person told me that I was way too good to be Latina. Crazy or not, but yeah.
Way too good as a human being or way too good workout in the gym?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. I think everything. It was a crazy conversation. But I had that sense that if you are people of color and you're doing well, you are one of the good ones. That is very dangerous. Mm-hmm. I was reading a book maybe 3 years ago, and then in page 23 says, not just our appearance was scorned.
Not just our appearance was scorned.
Our intelligence and very humanity were questioned.
Considered genetically unfit. Okay, read that again for me.
Cecile Tyson said in her book, the book name is Just As I Am, and it says, not just our appearance was scorned. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Our intelligence and very humanity were questioned, considered genetically unfit. That was the bottom line for me. To stand up in this community and be proud and be happy and deliver that message wherever I go.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And you have delivered that message today beautifully.
I hope so.
You have. You have. That's an amazing note to end on. We can take a breath. Thank you so much. When I was waiting for you, I was praying and I was saying, Lord, please take control of this. Just let it be excellent and extraordinary. And it was, and you are. Karen, you are courageous. You are definitely tenacious. I love your goals and your vision for kids, early learning, childhood education. I'm looking forward to the incredible impact that you are going to have, all that you've already started.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Thank you. On the next episode.
A lot of people think that going to live abroad is going to be a promise of a much better life. But I always find that there's some illusion about it, because restarting your life, rebuilding connections, especially as adults, it's much more difficult than when you are a student.
Oh my gosh, from the north of Brazil, the Amazon, you have other reasons like Carimbó, which is beautiful as well.
I want to be there now. Where in Brazil did you meet each other? What was that story? Tell me. Because I think I'm being a little bit nosy, but I'm just intrigued.
It's really cool.